obeyed the law by force of their heart and just did the things that the law required. And he begins to try to tell them in a gentle way that God's about to open the door to somebody else. And in the midst of that, he's already indicted the whole world in chapter 1 and in chapter 2. And in the midst of that, he makes it plain that if you're going to be in covenant with God, it's going to be because of what's on the inside of you. And he lays the foundation here for a continuing discussion in this epistle about the fact that you're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And we understand that faith without works is dead. But it begins with faith in Jesus. But as he's making this bridge work discussion with Israel, and he begins to take on this tear here, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. Verse 9, he said, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved that both Jews and Gentiles, they are all under sin. Everybody's in need of a savior. And everybody's in need of salvation. Everybody needs to be redeemed. Everybody's in the same boat. But they got so, they were so caught up in the fact that they were Abraham's seed that they forgot what they needed to do to please God. They got caught up in the fact that they had the covenant. They forgot what it was like to please God. And they forgot about their neediness before God. And they thought that just simply because they were in the covenant or a part of the covenant people, that for some reason they would be exempt concerning the spiritual response and the internal response to God. And they became rancid in their spirits, and they became haughty in their minds, and they lost that sweetness and that contact, that intimacy with God that only comes to hungry people, that only comes to thirsty people, that only comes to people who remember where they were when God found them. God had raised up a bunch of Jews that had come so far in covenant that they thought they were entitled. And so you hear Jesus saying, think not to yourselves that we are the children of Abraham. And Paul tells them the same thing essentially. You can't get there just because of a pedigree. You can't be right in God just because you're born in this. And your mama was in this. And her mama was in this. And it's been going on for generations. But somewhere there has to be a vibrant and a vital experience in God, born of hunger, born of passion. And I just want to know tonight, is there anybody in this house that remembers where you were when he found you? Now, I don't want to disclude any of these that were raised up in precious truth, but tonight I've got to ask them, have you considered where you might be tonight and how blessed you are to be on an apostolic pew to hear the truth from your youth up? My God, it ought to put a shout in everybody's heart. It ought to put a praise in everybody's heart. It ought to make everybody want to dance all night. All night. Yeah. All night. Well, somebody say, praise God. I just want to remember tonight. If it's true in your life and you feel that way, tell somebody by you, I've got a testimony. Tell them, I've got a testimony. Tell them, I've been delivered. I've been delivered. The hold that Satan had on me, he ain't got no more. I've been delivered. That is, if you were raised in the church, you've been delivered. And if you came in from the darkness outside, you've been delivered. My God, everybody ought to have that song on your lips. I've been delivered. I've been delivered. If you forget that, you forget how needy you are. You forget how good and merciful he is. Yes, yes, yes. We'll read a few psalms tonight. Dane, you going to help me? Psalms 31, 1 through 5. Everyone say, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. You know, when things are going well and you've got money in the bank and you're feeling pretty good about yourself, sometimes you forget to call on God. But all it takes is a little bit of trouble. And people remember that was the history of Israel. But it's also the history of this people that try to live for God today. But oh, what a wonderful place to live when you can remember His goodness and still walk in the blessing and not forget God. Is there anybody here that believes you can be blessed of God and still walk in your need of God? Somebody say, bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock. My rock's not the stock market. My rock's not my bank account. My rock's not the boss on the job. My rock is the rock that was laid in Jerusalem, in Zion. Verse 3, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me, guide me, pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. Psalm 32, beginning in verse 1. Everyone say, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. My God, how many blessed people are there in the house tonight? Anybody here believe that your sins are under the blood? That your name has been written in the Lamb's book of life? That God has thrown or cast your sin into a place where he can't remember it anymore? Blessed is he whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no God. You want to know what being blessed is? Being blessed is having a hole in your shoe and in your sock. Being blessed is having an empty wallet and a cabinet that may not have a lot of food in it, but you've got your sins covered up by the blood of Jesus, and you know that you're right with God. I'm just telling you, you think you're blessed with a fat wallet or a big house or a nice car. That's not a blessing that will compare with what the psalmist is talking about right here. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And in whose spirit there is no guile. Praise God. Psalms 34 and 1. I will bless the Lord. Say, I'll bless the Lord. At all times. Come on, good times, bad times, sick times, broke times, all times, all times, all times. Come on, somebody, the devil's been lying to you all week. Somebody needs to spit in his eye tonight and say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. When I get the pink slip, when I get the bad report, when my kids are going crazy, when my wife is going crazy, when my husband's going crazy, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Somebody's singing another song. They're singing, you don't know like I know all the trouble I have in my life. They're singing a song that says you can't understand, you can't relate to where I am. But I'm telling you what the word of God has for you. If you don't get up out of that morass tonight, if you don't get up out of that lethargy, that complacence in your spirit, that spirit of malaise that has come upon you, that trouble's going to eat you up. It's going to eat your victory. It's going to devour your joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. You need to get a hold of this tonight. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Shake your neighbor and tell him, I got a reason to praise the Lord. God's been good to me. How many people in this house, God's been good to you? Praise God. Praise God. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. We're not doing good rhythm here. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the Master on the deep, He heard my despairing cry. From the waters He lifted me. Now safe am I. Would you sing, love lifted me. Tell somebody, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. From your heart, say, love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, when nothing else could help, when my mama couldn't help me, when my daddy couldn't help me, when my money couldn't, when nobody, when my neighbor, when the preacher couldn't help me, love came. Love stepped down out of heaven, robed himself in flesh, reached down to where I was, and lifted me up out of a deep pit and out of the miry clay. Love lifted. Praise God. Anybody got a testimony tonight? Anybody got a testimony? Brother John Hagedorn, you want to testify tonight? I know you're beat. I know you're tired. I know you buried your mama and your daddy in a month and a half. But at all times.
Yes, he said, praise him at all times. And I tell you what, if it wasn't for God, I couldn't make it here tonight. Amen. But I tell you what, he's been my strength. He's been my joy. He's been my rock when I needed a rock to run to. And I'm happy tonight. Amen. That love lifted me.
Somebody run the aisle for Brother John tonight. Somebody shout for Jimmy Green tonight. Somebody dance for Sister Gail Green tonight. Somebody give praise for somebody that's broken in their body and they can't praise God tonight, but you can. God gave you some health. God gave you some strength. Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Come on, come on. Praise him, praise him. He's holy. He's a holy God. He's a holy God. He's a worthy God. He's a worthy God. Sing, he's holy, 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 worthy, 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 worthy. Come on. Can you sing a testimony tonight?
Praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, praise the Lord, everybody. He's worthy to be praised. You know, I was thinking tonight, you know, we look a little crazy. I know I look a little crazy sometimes when I'm praising. And people in the world don't understand. But it's just because they weren't there when God healed my body. They weren't there when God made a way out of no way. They weren't there when the doctor said no hope. But God said yes.
Him. Anybody got a testimony? My God, you ought to shout about it tonight. Shake somebody and tell them I've got a testimony. doing that. This is for all the old people. Once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me. Praise the Lord, he set me free. He set me free, yes. I said, Sister Bonnie, we need old people playing this. We're stuck in one chord. It says, once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and he listened to me. And oh, praise the Lord, he set me free. And the chorus said, he set me free. Yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Praise the Lord, he set me free. My God, listen to me. The devil can steal your testimony. You're already done. Your joy is gone. Uh-oh. They're bringing in the veterans. Somebody say, I've been delivered. Tell somebody I've got a testimony. If you let the devil cause you to forget that, he's going to eat you up. He's going to use you for a speed bag. You're going to have bad days on top of bad days, and then you're going to get more miserable than that. But if you can reach up and get a hold of something and begin to praise God in the midst of your testimony. I'm telling you, for somebody that can hold on to their testimony. The word of God said they overcame by the word of God, by the blood of the Lamb, and by their testimony. You want to sing? You can sing. If you're wondering where we're going tonight, I have no idea. This is not choreographed. This is just freestyle. We're just having church, and we're remembering our testimony. We're launching off a discussion that Paul had. But I'm telling you, I am stirred to my soul tonight when I read about there's none good, there's none worthy, they've all gone after their own ways. And I know that that's my lot, but somehow, miraculously, I'm standing in the house of God with God's people, and my sins are behind me, and the joy of God follows me. Goodness and mercy are on my trail. I've got a mansion in glory. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I can't explain it to you. I'm not worthy of it, but I sure am glad to be a part of the kingdom of God. Psalm 40. Everyone say, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up. He brought me up. He brought me. Come on, do you remember what he did for you, that it brought you up? Somebody's down in your spirit tonight, but don't you remember when it? You got to get a hold of those old victories. When David faced this giant, he said, listen, I already killed a bear and I killed a lion, and I know God's going to do the same thing with you. You've got to hold on to those victories. You've got to remember those high places that God brought you through. It'll keep you in a time of trouble and in a valley. Praise God. Would you say he brought me up? Also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a rock and establish my goings. And he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Tell somebody, I don't sing the old song anymore. I don't sing the blues anymore. We don't sing about, oh, woe is me. How bad it is. How much I lost. Everybody's got problems. Everybody's got trouble. Everybody's got a story to tell. It's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of vision, and it's a matter of will and choice. What do you want to sing about? You want to sing about all the trouble? Well, you're just like the Egyptians. But if you can get a hold of this and begin to sing about the goodness of God. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, yes, thank God for saving me. 'Cause when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, yeah, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. At Ziklag, David's sitting in a place of trouble and nobody's there to help him, but he encourages himself in the Lord. Praise God. I was at the Knuts the other night, and we were doing parables. And we didn't talk about it necessarily, but that parable always strikes me about the wedding feast, about how he invited those Jews. That's who the first are that he invites. A man threw a wedding feast for his son, and those that he invited wouldn't come. And he's talking about the Jews, and that's exactly the principle that Paul's dealing with in this chapter in Romans. They wouldn't come. They were too busy. They weren't interested. And God said, I'm going to judge them. But he told his servants, go out into the highways and byways. Go out there and find the blind, the lame, the poor. He's talking about the Gentile church, because the Jews wouldn't come. But every time I hear that, I think they had it. They had it in their hands. I never would have seen the light of day in the kingdom of God, but they dropped what they had. They weren't interested in it. And then somebody, I don't know, I could tell you our testimony tonight. A whole group of us came in 1974 because we got a hold of some tapes on prophecy, and God began to stir our hearts. And if you think that was just some coincidence that all of those events lined up like they did, I want to tell you, it was the angel of God, the harvester of God, the servant of God. God said, I want you to go out in the highways and byways. And this angel from way back there 2,000 years ago, he was still out in the highways, and he was looking, and he walked up in a house with a bunch of hippie freaks. He walked up in a house with a bunch of long-haired leaping gnomes, a bunch of people that were on their way to a lifetime of trouble. And then he walked in and began to tap us on the shoulder and whisper in our ear about the goodness of God and the kingdom of God. And before we knew what was happening, at midnight one night, I was going down in the water in Jesus' name. And in a revival with a little Canadian evangelist by the name of Don Love. He was preaching one night, if you want the Holy Ghost, you can get it right now where you are. If you hear that still small voice, you can get it right now. My God, I didn't know. I was a Baptist. I didn't know anything about altar calls. I didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. But I've about 8 rows back on the very end, about where you are, Brother Will. I lifted up my hands. I just began to say, I love you, Jesus. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to praise. I didn't know how to seek for the Holy Ghost. I opened one eye and I had about 50 apostolics up on the pews all around me praying for me. And Brother Terry Pugh laid his hand on my head. Something happened to me that changed my life and my destiny and the course of events for a family. My God. It was a moment of clarity like I've never had before in my life. Got the Holy Ghost. Talked in tongues. I've got a testimony. I've got to remember. I am tethered to that. I'm tethered to that new birth experience. I've got a responsibility to keep that alive, because the devil's got a calling to frustrate me and to hinder me and to stop me if he can. But you know, if you've got a heart and you've got a mind made up to hold on to your testimony, there's no devil can turn you around. There's nothing in hell that can turn you around. Do you remember how it was? Does anybody in this house have a testimony? Do you remember how it was? My God, my God, my God. Praise God. You sure you don't want to sing? I want you to sing. You're hoarse. My God. Sister Mary, he called you out of the polka bars. You say that is so wrong. Praise God. Brother Jerry Dickinson didn't have an experience in God at all. And he had an experience in an independent fundamentalist Baptist church. They didn't have any better sense than to lay hands on people and anoint them with oil. He had a knee that was in need of surgery. And up here on Highway 11 in that little shotgun building where we had church for a while, that Baptist church gathered with him, anointed him with oil, and prayed for him. And he received the healing of God. And nobody in the crowd had the Holy Ghost. Nobody in the crowd was baptized in Jesus' name. But God works in faith. God responds to faith. And then he and I sat in that building, and he was going to be our landlord. We were going to lease that building from him. And we got to talking, and he wanted to be a soul winner. I said, man, I've got the soul winning tool you need. Let me get my chart out of the truck and I'll show it to you. And I showed him a Bible study chart. But you know, God already had a bullseye on that house. Sister Sarah, are you in this house? Are you? She said, Jerry, you don't know these people. Because she was a stealth apostolic. She was backslid 100 miles from where God wanted her to be. And she knew it when she saw us come in the door. She said, you don't know these people. She knew we were going to try to drag her into holiness. She knew what this was going to be like. And he had no idea. He just wanted to get the Holy Ghost and stay a Baptist. But my God, God opened up a door. You know, he knows how to bring us. He knows how to bring us. Brother Cliff, where are you? Brother Cliff. Catholic down in the bayou. Praise God. A pagan. A superstitious pagan. Down from the bayou. But God got him hooked up in a Bible study. And he had a pastor that had sense enough to take him fishing. And won him to God. And he's a soul winner in the house of God. It's so good to remember where you came from. Praise God. Tell them about that testimony you don't like for me to tell about. How you went to that. I went to a party one night and my heart wasn't. No, it's not exactly like that.
Well, back in the 70s, there was a drug and it was called angel dust. And like a fool, I took it and went to a party. And it was really different back in the 70s. As far as mixing races, me and my sister and my brother-in-law were the only white people at this party, which was really different back then. Big deal. It was my sister's friend. And so, anyway, I just had taken this drug like an idiot. But that night, I came home from that experience feeling like my body was just disappearing. And I remember looking out a starry sky and saying, Lord, if you made all those stars and all the universe, it looks like you could let me know you for real. And I said, if I have to be Catholic or Baptist, I just can't be good. I just can't. And I said, but if I could find you, I would serve you. But I didn't really know I could find him. But a couple of weeks later, we had some people come to us, and like he told about the tapes we heard on prophecy, and then we had some Pentecostal people that my sister was friends with in high school came to us with a chart and started teaching us the Word of God. And I found him, and it's been good ever since. When I did find him, I said, Lord, this has to be fun for me, or I just won't have the strength to stay. And I didn't know that the Bible said the joy of the Lord is my strength, but I was onto something. And he's made it fun, and I have enjoyed living for God for, how long? 38? 37 years.
37 years. She doesn't like me to tell that story. Because I always tell it in a bunch of preachers and preachers' wives. I want to tell it. My wife was a drugger, and she just... doesn't like it very well. I don't know why. Praise God. There's none good. They've all gone after their own ways. All of them have a mouth filled with violence and deceit. Nobody good. I tell you what, it is such a miracle that I'm in the house of God. It's a miracle that I'm in the house of God. My daddy was an alcoholic. He was a violent man. My mama left him 5 or 6 times. It's amazing. It is an amazing thing that I came out of that with an experience in God. There's nobody in my family connected to apostolic churches. Nobody in my family had the Holy Ghost that we knew of. Nobody. There was no connection. But I had a little wife that looked out on a starry night and said, God, we'll serve you if we could find you. We'd live for you, and it seems like you could help us to know where you are. And you know, God hears those kinds of prayers, and God led us into truth. You've got a testimony. You need to hold on to that testimony. You need to kick the devil upside the head and say, no, God's redeemed me. God's delivered me. God's been my protector. He lifted me up out of a deep pit. My God. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Warren, you're a homegrown. You're raised up in apostolic churches. But we've all been delivered. We've all been brought out. It was the devil's plan to cut your head off at the shoulders and shame your daddy and all that he had preached. But you came out. And you're living for God, and you're demonstrating what a godly man should live like and should be like. You realize what the probabilities are? You realize what a slim chance you have to do that? My God. God's good. Brother E.T., we're going to testify.
Amen. Go ahead. Amen. I was in a pit of my own making. It was a pit that I didn't have a remedy to get out of. It was a pit of drugs, alcohol, immorality, lying, cheating, anything you can think of, I was it. And if I wasn't it, it's just because I didn't know about it, because I'd try anything. But one day in the middle of that pit, and I was not a person that thought anything much about God. You know, I thought that was kind of what people did when they were weak and couldn't handle life, you know. So they leaned on God. So that was all right for them, but not me. I was strong. But in the middle of that pit and all that was whirling around me, one night all of a sudden, just out of the deep part of me, somewhere down inside of me, I don't know where it came from because I wasn't used to calling that name. But all of a sudden it rose up out of me and it just leaped out of my mouth. And I said, Jesus. And when I did, all of a sudden things started happening. I started running into people that were apostolic and had the truth. And all of a sudden I realized, hey, there's only one God and I know his name. And God just changed me around. And all of a sudden, no pit anymore. And I could be joyous and I could be happy and I could live for God and love it. Amen. Because he's a good God.
My God, my God. And Ashley had a backslider come and knock on her door. He was out trying to live for the devil, juking and jiving out in the world, and found him a honey to do that with him. But he brought her back to Birmingham. She fell up among the apostolics and got the Holy Ghost. Serves him right. Praise God.
Praise the Lord, church. I wouldn't want to live any other way. It was hard to leave my family and come here, but since I've been living for God, my dad, he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he was baptized in Jesus' name about 4 or 5 years ago, and he is now living for God with his wife in at Brother Spell's church in Baton Rouge. So God is good. My mom needs prayer, but God is able, and I love y'all, and I'm happy to be here.
You mind if I talk about your tattoo? I just tell you, I get a kick when she's down front in the altar area dancing, and I see that little tattoo on that ankle, dancing in an apostolic church. And I think that was supposed to be a mark of I'm in the world and I'm in the bar and I'm in the scene and I'm. But now it's a sign of God reached out in the middle of it all and brought somebody into the house. My God. That little butterfly is a testimony.
Praise the Lord, church. I'm excited to be here and be a part of the church. We didn't really have didn't grow up in a church. None of my family really went to church. And Richard here, his daughter Amanda had a big Cajun come with one of those charts to his house teaching a Bible study. And I was a lost teenager into drugs, alcohol. I've OD'd. I've been to jail. I've had all the whatever, all the benefits of the world. And I started sitting in that Bible study. It took me a while. It took me maybe 2 years, but I finally come here and baptize in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. I just praise God.
Oh, come on. Somebody give him high praise. He reached out into the highways and the byways.
Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful. I grew up Baptist. I'm a Baptist minister's daughter. And told I'm in a cult every time I go home. But you know what? I made up my mind and I said, even if my family don't go, I'm going to go. And I'm going to live this oneness. I'm going to live it to the fullest. I have a daughter that's looking at me and she's going to be brought up in the oneness. Praise the Lord.
My God. Well, guess we need to fold up our tents.
Thought if I sat down, he'd walk on by, you know? Isn't that how it works? Praise the Lord, everybody. I was growing up, we went to all different kinds of church. You know, we went to Assembly of God church, a Baptist church. My dad got mad at the Baptist because of something. And, you know, then I started going to other different kinds of churches just to go with friends, just to see what they did, you know. Went to the, Methodist church, which is Catholic-like kind of church. Went to the Catholic church and saw them take communion, the big old goblet, and everybody drinking out of the same thing, you know. And I'm like, oh, that ain't it. I can't drink out of all those people and stuff, you know. Sorry, that's just real. But I went all the way through, you know, high school. You know, didn't do anything right, you know, bunch of alcohol in high school. Was basically, from my opinion, if not that, very close to being an alcoholic when I finished high school. Went on, God blessed me with a scholarship out of the blue to go to college, to a junior college. Went to that, did well. Went on, got a scholarship to Birmingham Southern here. And I could have afforded any of that, you know. I'm one of seven kids. My dad was an aircraft mechanic. Mom drove a bus. So worked there at the college. Finished up, got good grades, so got a scholarship to med school. Went to med school, you know, and I'm thinking, hey, I'm on the right track here, you know. But still being stupid, you know. Still, you know, drinking and doing stupid stuff, just what people do, you know. And I was on a break in med school and went home. And, in this path all along the way, my oldest brother Ray had gotten to the church, you know, and gotten saved. And, you know, we all thought it was a bummer because now Ray wouldn't hang with us, you know. And we used to, you know, build kind of race cars and stuff. And Ray had the car, and now all of a sudden he's not racing anymore, you know. What's up with that? And then Ryan, a couple of my other brothers got the Holy Ghost and got in church, and I went home on a break. And my brother Bart was just after me about having a Bible study. Come on, have a Bible study. And I'm like, oh, man, I got parties to go to, you know, I got places to go. And finally, he was so insistent, and it really touched my heart. You know, I was like, you know, I can at least give him, you know, an hour or two for a Bible study, you know. And he gave me this Bible study, and I was kind of just half listening, half not listening, half listening, you know, going through it. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Well, he didn't know, but like 2 weeks before that, or maybe a month or so, God had talked to me, you know, every night in med school. I get like three hours of sleep a night, every night. Study till about 2 o'clock, get back up at 5 o'clock, study some more, go to class, you know, something like that. But every night God had been dealing with me, read the Bible, you know, and I loved God. I had a feeling that I needed God, but I just didn't really know how to get to him and felt like I was overwhelmed anyway. So if I just read one verse before I collapsed on the side of the bed trying to pray or whatever, you know. But while I was doing that, I was praying one night, and I was just exhausted. And I was like trying to pray to God, trying to pray to Jesus so God didn't get mad at me because I was praying to Jesus. And then I know the Holy Ghost was around there somewhere, or, you know, I didn't know anything about nothing, you know. And so I was like, you know, I tried to give him all these different manifestations of God some prayer time because I didn't want any of them to get mad at me, you know. And then finally, I was like just exhausted. And I wasn't, you know, God knows my heart. I wasn't trying to be rude or God or anything. But I'm like, God, if you just tell me who you are, I'd pray to you better. You know, I don't even know who I'm supposed to be praying to here. And he said, and it was not an audible voice, but it was as if someone spoke to me, as sure as if you told me something right now. He said, just pray to me. My name is Jesus. I am the God of all creation. And I was like, it was like a peace came over me that I could not explain. And I just smiled and fell asleep. And from that point, I knew it. I knew who God was, you know. And a much longer story, you know, I'm still stupid, of course. But a much longer story, you know, bringing me through different things. I ended up at a youth revival in Georgia after a multiple car breakdown, trying to get me all that kind of stuff there. But anyway, and there was a man that got up who, his daughter had a blood clot in her leg, in the artery in her leg, and she was going to lose her leg. And I had been asked, my brother said, hey, can you pray for this girl? She goes to church over here in Georgia. And I said, yeah, sure, I'll pray for her. Of course, you know, I said it, but I didn't do it, you know. And then whenever he gets up there to testify, it was kind of like I felt ashamed, you know. Oh, I said I was going to pray for that girl. I never did. And it was like God spoke to me again. He said, listen to what the man has to say. And I was like, okay. So he gets up there, and I'm expecting him to say, yeah, well, they had to amputate her leg or something like that. Well, what he said was, you know, praise the Lord, this is the story of what happened with my daughter. And as he described her medical course, he testified in medical jargon that most people don't think to say, you know, things like she had, you know, instead of saying a blood clot, she had a thrombus, you know, in her, you know, femoral artery and things like that. And I'm like, what is that guy talking about? You know, and it was God speaking through him directly to me. And my mind, every time something came up, it's like, well, she was healed. Her, you know, they went in, it was gangrenous 1 minute, and the next minute they went in, and now it's completely pink, you know. And I'm thinking, well, that blood clot, and I'm thinking all these kind of goofy things, like, well, maybe it had a fistula, a venous fistula, and somehow it got, you know, or something, it thrombosed, it embolized up into her lungs or something, you know. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe he's talking about a venous clot and not an arterial clot. And it, you know, all these kinds of, well, every time I would think something, he would answer it. No, it wasn't. It was an arterial clot. It wasn't a venous clot. And I'm like, okay, well, no, I bet she had a pulmonary thromboembolism. He was like, and as a matter of fact, the doctor says she didn't have a pulmonary thromboembolism. Yeah, believe it or not, he actually said that. He said pulmonary thromboembolism. I mean, anybody here ever heard of that before? No. I mean, a couple of people. Of course, you're in the medical field probably or something like that, you know. But anyway, God spoke to me through that testimony. Afterwards, I was realizing, you know what? God really does care about me individually. The God of all creation would reveal himself to me and would take the time to speak through another man that I didn't even pray for his daughter just to save me. You know, it's overwhelming when you think about how good God is for you. If you think back over your life, if you're honest with yourself, you don't have to be honest with anybody else, but at least be honest with yourself that God has taken very specific care of you and called you to this place here tonight. God loves you, and he revealed that to me, and I'm so thankful that through it all, he saved me, and I'm going to go to heaven. Praise God. Thank you.
Well, we've got all of eternity to tell the story. But you need to make sure that while you're here, you don't forget this. You need to remember your testimony. You know how I feel tonight? There was a kid, was a son of Saul's. Let's stand. And he was all crippled up. And his name was Mephibosheth. Say that to your neighbor. And Saul was David's enemy. And this kid was the son of Saul. But when David set up his kingdom and he set up his table, he had his servants go and get Mephibosheth, because he had regard for that man's son. And they carried this cripple into the king's dining hall. And his crippled legs were under the table. And he sat as a part of the king's family at every meal. And he had an open door. You know what I feel like? I feel like somebody they found off on a back road somewhere that didn't have any claim nor no legitimacy to come into the house of God. But they found me and they brought me in my crippled condition. And they set me down at the marriage supper of the Lamb with all of God's people. God's been good to me. And I've just got to praise him tonight for that. My God, if you love him and you've got a testimony tonight, go ahead and give God praise for that tonight. Would you come down around the altar with your family tonight? Come down around the altar with your family. Have a little family time of worship. And I want you to tell the children how it was. Tell the little ones what God delivered you from. If it had not been for Jesus, nowhere would I be.
I'm so glad.
He saved me. If you're first down here, step up a little bit. I'm so glad. Give him some worship tonight. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be?
I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me.
If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be?
I'm so glad that the Lord
saved me. He saved me. He saved me. He saved me. He saved me. Come on, somebody praise him. Somebody worship him. He saved me. He saved me. He saved me. Praise God. I'll clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Are you glad to be a part of the children of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? I've got a testimony. Praise God. I want you to lift up your hands right now, and I want you to let that Holy Ghost flow through your vessel. Somebody's moved and touched by this tonight. Somebody needs to reaffirm their testimony tonight. Somebody needs to lay claim to this again tonight. He saved me. Pray in tongues with authority. Would you do that for a little bit? Praise the Lord. Clap your hands, lift your voice. Hallelujah. Praise God. Touch somebody by you and tell them, I've got a testimony. Come on, God's been good to me. God bless you. Here in the next few weeks, we've got a lot of church family traveling. You want to be sure to pray for the church family. And when you're traveling, we'll do the same for you. We'll be back here on Wednesday night for an apostolic service. We'll have prayer at 6:30 and an apostolic service at 7. We're having prayer over in the other building before every service. God bless you. Greet and love somebody before you leave the house tonight.
Thank you.